How many of you all grew up using a fireplace when you were a child, a young person? Well, you may still use them because we know that fireplaces are maybe used in homes as a way to warm our homes. Some of the fireplaces today are decorative. Really, you have maybe gas heat or electric heat, but you like to have that fireplace because of what it may bring to us in terms of enjoyment as we experience a fire. Also, there are those who use it maybe as an emergency. You've got wood and your heat goes out in the wintertime. It's always a good emergency to be able to burn that fire in the fireplace. I grew up in South Georgia. Growing up in South Georgia as a little boy, I remember that's the only kind of heat that we would have sometimes in our homes that we lived in. So I know the importance of it, and I remember my grandmother and aunts and all of them backing up to the fire and warming up. Did you ever do that? I know that we backed up against that fire. Even the fireplace we have at the house, one of those gas logs, I don't have to do any cutting of wood, chopping the wood. We can just take that remote. And turn out been great to have had that back during the days when we were younger. But we had to go out and cut the wood and get it ready then. But today, just hit that remote and the fire comes on automatically. But I still enjoy backing up to the fire and enjoying the warmth of it. Did you ever wonder how that we today as Christians can keep the fires of enthusiasm in serving the Lord to be going strong? Maybe I'm speaking to some of us. The flames need to be fanned. The flames are not there really the way they at one time were. And the struggle that we have constantly as Christians is to be diligent, zealous, enthusiastic, and on fire in our service unto God. And those flames of enthusiasm, when they're burning down low, they need once again to be built up and to be encouraged. And as we share our thoughts together tonight, I want us to go back to the reading that Brother Tom did a little while ago out of the great book of 2 Timothy. Because evidently in the life of Timothy, his flames were burning low. And Paul wanted him to fan those flames once again. He wanted to allow the fires, the zeal and the enthusiasm that he should have as a preacher of God's word, once again to be renewed and restored. Well, if preachers like Timothy need that, what about us? We're no different today in our lives than was this young preacher, Timothy. And I want to try and help all of us to see things that will rekindle the flames. And if in your life or in my life we find that the flames are burning low and we need to stoke the fire, we need to stir up the embers, we need to get another log and put it on the fire and let the fire burn brightly and strongly again, there are some things that Timothy is told by Paul that will encourage him in his service unto God. I remember in the book of Revelation chapter 2, at verse number 4, there the church at Ephesus, Jesus said unto that congregation, they were strong in their work. They tested those who said they were teachers and found them to be false teachers. And they were a working congregation in that way. But the Lord said unto that church in Ephesus, you have left your first love. And when a person has left his first love, he needs to once again come back to that first love, that first enthusiasm. All of us remember how enthusiastic we were when we first obeyed the gospel. We remember rising up out of those waters of baptism and our hearts were on fire and serving the Lord. But through the years, that fire and that enthusiasm and the flames sometimes begins to die out. And we need to rekindle the flames. That needs to be done in my life personally. Is it also possible it needs to be done in a congregation? that when a congregation finds herself discouraged and distraught and down, there are some things I believe that can once again rekindle the flames when the fires burn low. First, there is the memory of a loyal friend. Paul and Timothy were very close. It'd be wonderful to have a friend like Paul. It would be great to have a friend like Timothy. And Timothy and Paul, they were such close friends that Paul would identify Timothy as his son in the faith. He would say in the second verse of our text tonight that Timothy is described as a beloved son. When I think about the way Paul will identify Timothy and the relationship that they both had one with the other, I am sure that there were times that Paul found his embers, his flames burning low, but he remembered the friendship of Timothy. And Timothy here in our text also needed to have the fans flame in his life once again, the flames of his service unto God to once again be stirred up. And Paul would be that special friend who would fan the flames in the heart of Timothy. The wise men wrote in Proverbs 27, verse 17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, and a friend sharpens the face of his friend." Have you got a friend in your life that stirs your service unto God when you get down? I would urge all of us, have that special friend, that special person. You can call them on the phone. You can go out and visit with them. You can serve the Lord together. God has always blessed me in my work with men and women in the congregation who stood with me and encouraged me and helped me, and they were true friends. That when I felt down and discouraged, I knew I could go to this person. We'd go out and we'd make a visit together. We'd have a Bible study together with somebody else. And these friends, these loyal friends, encouraged me in the work of the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel 23, there was a day when David was distraught about the fact that Saul was threatening his life. David was hiding in the mountains and other places away from Saul. Who was it that came and saw and visited with David? And when he came to visit with David, he encouraged him. He built him up. He gave David the realization that God is going to use you. God is going to raise you up to be the great king. And Jonathan then is described in the Bible. We know, we understand that wonderful relationship of the friendship between Jonathan and David. Do you have a Jonathan in your life that when you're afraid, that Jonathan will come and give you encouragement? Do you have a David in your life whose very spiritual example will be a great encouragement to you? There was an expression that Paul had for his friend Timothy, encouraging Timothy by the realization first that Paul will use words of affection. Paul will call Timothy dearly beloved. Do we easily express those words to one another today? Do we really tell each other how we love one another? Paul was not afraid to say to Timothy, "Timothy, you are my dearly beloved. You're my son in the faith, and I love you so much. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for the other." But not only was Timothy one that Paul, as a friend, a loyal friend, encouraged him by the expression of affection, but Paul also encouraged him by telling him, "I've approached God in your behalf. I have prayed to God for you." When was the last time that we told somebody, "I've prayed to God for you"? Now, I know that there are elders in the Lord's church. There are some in this audience who have been elders in the Lord's church, you know the challenge involved in being an elder. You know the pressures that are brought upon, the decisions that are made. And I know how that our elders at East Ridge have struggled through the times of this pandemic to know what is right, what is best to do. And it's great to know that we have people that say, "Brother, I am praying for you." And I am so grateful tonight for those who have told me on many occasions, "Charlie, I pray for you." And Paul told Timothy, "Timothy, I have thanked God for you. I have approached God on your behalf." Friends, indeed, do pray for one another. And those prayers, maybe sometimes we don't hear those prayers, but there is something that strengthens us, that supports us. And what possibly is it that supports and strengthens us? Could it be the prayers that we offer for one another? There's also the expression of appreciation. Paul says, "I'm thankful to God. I thank God for you." There's a lot of things that we can be thankful for tonight, but one of the greatest things for which we can express gratitude is our fellowship and our love and the friendship that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul also saw the expectation of what Timothy could do with his life. And as Paul would tell Timothy, "Timothy, God has given you, God has endowed you with a gift. Therefore, stir that gift up." How many young people today, and I appreciate the young folks here tonight, and the expectation that we have, and that we tell our young people, that we tell one another how grateful we are, and we have great expectations of your possibilities. Is there a possibility for this congregation to do even more greater works for the Lord? Never allow the devil to pull us down to think or to say, "Well, our better days are all behind us." Because indeed there are things, there are expectations that we can share. Even in this small group here tonight, there are expectations that we can instill in the hearts of one another. Do we see the possibilities? Now, I'm not 100% possibility thinker. I know that there are challenges. I know that there are things that we have to overcome. And I know that not everything is going to come up roses. There's some thorns with those rose bushes. But I do believe that if we see the possibilities, Jesus was the master at seeing the possibilities in the lives of others. He told Peter one day, "Peter, you are Simon Peter, you are a little pebble, but you will become a strong rock in my service." Let us then be stirred up by the memory of a loyal friend. You've got friends. You have friends tonight who love and would encourage you. The second thing that I believe that Paul did to fan the flames in the life of Timothy when he needed to be once again built up and recreate within his heart and life that enthusiasm that he at one time had. Paul said, "Timothy, I want you to remember your loving family. I want you to remember that you had a grandmother by the name of Lois. You had a mother by the name of Eunice. Timothy, you've got a great heritage in who your grandmother was and who your mother was." And that memory of a wonderful, loving family would be a thing that would stir within the heart of Timothy once again the flames of his service unto God. So far as we know, the Bible doesn't reveal whether or not Timothy's father, the husband of Eunice, was ever a Christian. In Acts 16, verse 1, Eunice, the mother of Timothy, she was a believer. Timothy's father was a Greek. So far as we know, Sister Eunice did not have a faithful husband to encourage her. She didn't have that husband to stand beside her and help her in the raising of Timothy. It's possible that He did not discourage her or pull her down or say anything that would cause Timothy to not be built up with what his mother was teaching him, but there was not father and mother in that family for Timothy to teach him the way of the Lord. But he had a religious heritage that was strong. We might say that Timothy had two generations before him. His grandmother was a believer and his mother was a believer. Three generations then, Lois, Eunice, Timothy. What about us? Can we think back to our families? How many of us in this audience had a faithful grandfather and grandmother who loved the Lord and they loved the church? How many of us had a faithful mother and father who were devoted to the Lord? How many of us had a faithful wife or a faithful husband who loved the Lord and that loving family? When we're down, when we're discouraged, that wife, that husband, that father, that mother, that grandmother or grandfather, they were there to build us up and to encourage us. Let us not lose that wonderful memory. Let us hold on firmly to the memory of a loving family if we have grown up and we have a religious home. And the traits of that home, the truths of that home are instilled within our hearts and lives. Don't let go of it. Hold on to what our families can mean to us. I believe this, that the later blessings that Timothy enjoyed were because the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, but you must continue in the things in which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. At the knee of his grandmother Lois and the knee of his mother Eunice, he was taught to respect and love the Word of God. I'm thankful to God tonight for a faithful Christian wife who has stood beside and encouraged me in my work for almost 50 years. What a blessing that is. I'm also thankful tonight for a godly father and mother in whose home I was able to live and watch my father as he was an elder in the Lord's church and as he went out and encouraged churches as he preached the Word of God. And that loving family always stirs my heart and encourages me in the work that I know God has given us to do in the Lord's church. And when I get down, when I get discouraged, when the flames of fire in my heart are burning low, I can once again remember that loving family. And it's going to lift me up and it's going to encourage me. The third thing that I would have us to understand tonight that Paul did for Timothy in fanning the flame in his life and service to God was a memory of a living faith. Did you notice again in our text at verse number 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith, look at it now and circle this word, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Timothy, you see, had a faith that was personal, a faith that lived in his heart, that religion that is a real thing, that religion and that relationship with God that is true and unfeigned, that is unhypocritical, that faith that is dwelling within our hearts must also be within my personal convictions. Have you ever heard the old expression, God has no grandchildren? What does that mean? It means that God does not have second generation Christians. God wants Christians who are first generation Christians, that is, those who personally themselves have accepted and they believe in the Bible, they believe in Jesus, they believe in God. So many of our young folks today leave the Lord, they leave the church. They leave the teachings of the Bible. Why? Because their faith is not genuine. It is not sincere. It is not that which is unhypocritical. It is a faith that is leaning and pulling upon the coattails of their father and mother, their grandfather and grandmother. Lois was a great woman. Eunice was a great woman. But Timothy needed faith in his own heart. And as Timothy had a living faith, let that faith, Timothy, stir you up. Have a faith that will move those mountains in your life. Have a faith that will overcome the days of discouragement. Trust and believe in God and that personal faith. The sad thing for me as a dad is to know, oh, how I wish I could pass my faith along to my children. But I can't do that, you see, because the Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I can't believe for my children. They've got to come to a personal relationship and a faith in God. We inherit a lot of things. I had a good friend, Brother Danny Collins. Danny was an elder at the Lord's Church at East Ridge. Danny was a good man. They often look at me and say, Charlie, I am so glad that your children look like their mother. And that always was a special encouragement to me because what they may have gained through their genes were from my beautiful wife. But you know, I might pass the way that I look, my eye color, hair color, or any other thing I can pass along genetically to my children, but I cannot pass along to them my personal faith. I tried to teach them. You try to teach your children. You did your best. And I realize, like all of us in this audience, maybe I'm speaking to some whose children are not faithful to the Lord, and your hearts are broken and heavy tonight. And you did the very best you could to instill within them, like Lois and Eunice did, the faith that was in your hearts. But somehow or another, it did not come into their own personal conviction. Don't forget this. Every child has its own free will. And in the freedom of choice, the freedom of will, you can teach, but you can't make them become a follower of the Lord. And if they ever leave the Lord and they leave the church, you cannot always have guilt in your hearts about how that your children have left the faith. Timothy had a living faith, and that living faith could cause the fans to be flamed. But there was also the memory of a lost fervor. The flames that needed to be fanned in his life was the fervor that he at one time had when he first had hands laid upon him, but something had caused the flame of his service and the use of his gift to need to be stirred up once again, to keep it blazing. What were the things that Paul said to Timothy? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. One thing that causes the flames to die down that need to be fanned once again is that we become afraid. Fear grips our hearts. And as we live in an atmosphere of fear around us and fear in our own life, I know that today there are those that maybe even fear their salvation. They do not believe that they're saved. And they will say, you can't be sure whether or not if you died tonight, you would go to heaven. I'm afraid. I have fear of God in that way. And because the fear resides in my heart and I don't have that assurance, that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine, that fear grips my heart and it causes me to become discouraged in my service to the Lord. Oh, I wish that all of us could remove that fear and replace it with power, love and a sound or a healthful mind. Why is it that so many times Christians are so anxious and so many Christians are overwrought with worry and fear? And we as Christians, we as followers of the Lord, we that have a heart of faith should have that wonderful confidence. And if we have that confidence, that memory of a lost fervor, a lost zeal that one time we possessed, and I want to get it again, I want it to be in my life once again, that lost fervor can be built back up and can be rekindled in our hearts and in our lives. If you tonight are not as fervent as you once were and you've lost that fervor, allow it to be true tonight that you replace that fear with power and love and a sound mind. And go out and say tonight, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God has given us the wonderful victory in His service tonight. The last thing that I want to mention, and then we'll sing the invitation song. How did Paul fan the flames in the heart of his young friend Timothy? He gave him a memory of a lavish favor. He talked about God's grace. You are a recipient, Timothy, of the grace and the mercy and the peace of God. He spoke of his favored and forgiven position. By the mercy of God, you are forgiven in His love and kindness. God took you out of the world and He brought you into the church and He gave you a life of service unto Him. And also, you're favored by the fact that God has lavished upon you a gift. Now, I realize that the gift that Paul may have laid upon Timothy is different than the gift that we might receive. We do not have miraculous gifts. We don't have apostles like Paul going around in the church tonight, laying their hands on others and imparting to them a spiritual gift. I don't know exactly what the gift was that Paul imparted to Timothy, but Paul is saying, Timothy, realize this. God has endowed you. God has given you a special gift that He has provided for you in your life to serve Him. All of you in this audience, you have some kind of gift. Not miraculous, but you have a gift or something that God has endowed you with that nobody else has. And if we could only understand the favored position, the lavish favor of God, all of us as Christians, we've all received God's grace. Now go out and share that grace with somebody else. We've all received the mercy of God. Now go out and show mercy towards others. We've all received the love and the kindness of God. Let's go out and show that love and kindness to those around us. Because we have, and because Timothy had this lavish favor, the gift of God, there was a responsibility to use it, Timothy. Don't let fear hold you back. And there are rewards that come as a result of using those gifts. So, as we try to keep the fires of service to God burning brightly, and when the fires, the flames are almost down to the embers, and all we see are the little red embers, the flames are not coming up any longer in our lives, let's go back and let's remember what Paul told his young friend Timothy. And let those things, in the midst of all of our fears, our worries and our concerns, our doubts, the memory of these things ought to stir us up when we're discouraged. And the grace of God in my heart, the grace of God in your hearts, will become a wonderful motivation. Am I discouraged tonight? Are you discouraged in your service to the Lord? You know, there's a little song that says it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Maybe you can be that spark in this church to build and to cause the congregation to be zealous and on fire in serving the Lord. Maybe you can be that spark to get the fires and the flames burning brightly once again. One thing that we are doing at East Ridge this year, our theme for the entire year is SOS. Brother Sammy, did you ever send out an SOS? Probably not, but we've all heard of SOSs, haven't we? The letters SOS for our challenge this year at East Ridge is save one soul. Could you adopt that at Lake Hills? There were souls here this morning that were encouraged by your love and your encouragement to them. You know, if you could just simply go through the rest of this year and each one of us would just reach out to one soul and that one soul was saved by God's grace, that would cause enthusiasm to permeate this congregation, responses to the Word of God, baptisms into Christ, restorations of those who have fallen away, all bring great enthusiasm to a congregation. Let the Lord then light the fire in all of our hearts. He lit the fire in the hearts of His disciples when He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that spreading flame, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, they took that gospel. And Paul could write in Colossians 1, verse 23, that all the world had heard the gospel of Christ because of the dedication and the spreading flame of the New Testament church. Let's go back and catch that vision and that fire once again. If you're here in the audience and you need to become a Christian, we'd be happy to assist you in that tonight. Be happy to baptize you into Jesus for the remission of your sins upon your obedient faith and genuine repentance and confession of that faith before this good audience. If you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we love you. God loves you. We're here to help while we stand to sing.